I had Italy to political megaphone, how tiny Twitter punches above its weight in India. My name is Tenzin Zompa, and in today's edition of The Print Pod, I bring to you the podcast version of the article written by our senior correspondent, Regina Mihindukula Surya. In terms of pure popularity, Twitter is a bit of a laggard in India when compared to WhatsApp, YouTube, Facebook, and even Instagram, according to data released by government earlier this year. However, when it comes to politics, there is little doubt that Twitter punches far above its weight. While the credit for Twitter's disproportionate influence in India can be attributed in great part to its strategic adoption by Prime Minister Narendra Modi and crores of BJP supporters, the platform has also increasingly helped the Congress amplify its reach. The reason why Twitter matters so much, despite having 1.75 crores compared to WhatsApp's 53 crore and earning 18 times less than Facebook in India, is because it has emerged as the platform that most influences what the rich, the political class, and even journalists see, think, and share. You dominate what these influential people see, the idea goes, you dominate what the masses are going to see. Prime Minister Narendra Modi is not only the most followed Indian on Twitter with 7.3 crore followers as of Sunday evening, he is also a major reason for the platform's growth in India. Indeed, Modi saw the importance of Twitter well before even the BJP's IT experts did. Pradyut Bora, the first IT cell head of the BJP, he has since resigned from the party, told The Print that during his stint between 2007 and 9, Twitter was badly factored into the party's digital strategy. No one would have thought back then that Twitter or any social media could impact social harmony or electoral processes as much as they do today, he said, adding that in this period, the IT cell did not even set up Twitter accounts for Modi or other BJP leaders. Modi, meanwhile, had wised up to the benefits of Twitter when he was still Chief Minister of Gujarat. In January 2009, he became one of the earliest Indian politicians to join Twitter. His Facebook page started several months later in May 2009. Vikas Pandey, a trained software engineer who since 2002 has set up several pro-Hindu right-wing online groups with names like RSS and Hinduism and worked as a volunteer for the party's online campaign in 2014, praised Modi's foresight. Modi ji is a visionary, miles ahead of others. He understood what social media can do in an election, Pandey, who also volunteered for the BJP's 2014 campaign, told The Print. I didn't see how Twitter was so much special than other platforms for the longest time, he added. When the BJP came to power in 2014, Modi continued to use Twitter as his de facto platform to communicate with the public. With the PM's blessings, other ministers and government departments also started getting on Twitter. In June 2014, Rahil Khurshid, the then Twitter head of news partnerships, wrote with some exhilaration about the PM's Twitter-first strategy, pointing out that within 1 month, Twitter had emerged as the key platform to keep track of what the government is busy with. The Prime Minister has been using his personal handle at Narendra Modi, complemented by his office official handle at PMO India to share updates. He further noted the PM's cabinet was flocking to Twitter with nearly 40 ministers and ministries already sharing daily updates with their followers. This happy relationship with the platform went a step further in 2016 with Twitter Saver, a feature made with the Indian government in mind. Twitter executives like Khurshid promoted it as a customized e-governance delivery service that would increase the Twitter outreach of various ministries and make it easier and faster to address citizen queries and complaints than traditional systems. Twitter Saver effectively meant the government under Modi could perform its basic job of being accountable to the public via Twitter. However, Twitter was never just about straightforward communication. The beauty of Twitter's algorithm is that an ordinary person's tweets can be visible as those of the rich, famous, and powerful. When you comment on a person's tweet, your views will show up in the Twitter feeds of others too. Recognizing this, BJP supporters organized themselves to use this feature to counter contradicting views. Twitter was a contentious space even more than a decade ago. In January 2010, 4 years before the BJP came to power, journalist Sagarika Ghosh tweeted that internet Hindus were like swarms of bees who attacked at any mention of Modi, Muslims or Pakistan. That comment caused a flutter. Right-wing supporters in general were furious with that comment, Vikas Pandey said. 2 years later, it was still giving fodder to TV debates. The ability to speak truth to power or challenge a relatively powerful or influential person this way highlighted the potential potency of tweets. Congress leader Shashi Tharoor knows all about it. In 2009, he faced backlash from his own party when he referred to the economy section of a flight as the cattle class. Then in 2010, the Congress asked him to resign as the Minister of State for External Affairs when cricket IPL founder Lalit Modi tweeted that Tharoor was linked to alleged irregularities in a franchise. Tharoor told The Print that using Twitter has been a mixed bag. You gain some, you lose some. Certainly, there is no doubt that I had lost some with the number of controversies being stirred up by my tweets, often maliciously, he said. According to Tharoor, his experiences on Twitter served as something of a cautionary tale for other Congress leaders who at first kept their distance from the platform. The controversies in which I was embedded was the reason that many backed away. Initially, when I hit 10,000 followers and people started to take notice, extremely senior people in the party and in the Congress government wanted to know how to tweet. But the moment everything became controversial, they shied away, Tharoor said. However, the Congress has followed in the BJP's footsteps since and has of late covered a lot of ground on Twitter. Despite its late start, the Congress has been revamping its online strategy and in-house analytics are believed to have shown promising results. Rohan Gupta, the social media head of the Congress, told The Print that the main Twitter handle of the Congress gets 50% more engagement compared to BJP's main Twitter account. Shivam Shankar Singh, the author of The Art of Conjuring Alternate Realities and How to Win an Indian Election, worked as a data analyst for the BJP for 2 years. According to him too, the Congress has seen an uptick in its Twitter influence, especially during the pandemic. By 2020, especially during the COVID lockdown, the Congress had emerged as dominant as BJP in how many Twitter users see their messages. During the second wave this year, the Congress had bypassed the BJP and emerged as the party making the best use of Twitter. The Youth Congress was actively seen helping people and aiding COVID relief efforts via Twitter, Singh told The Print. A study of SOS tweets this April conducted by the Digital Forensic Research Lab of the Washington-based think tank Atlantic Council showed that the most frequently tagged account in tweets asking for help during the COVID second wave was that of Youth Congress Chief Srinivas Bivi. No BJP made it even to the top 5 sought-after accounts. However, this may not be an accurate barometer of the Congress' political influence and internet popularity. The BJP's digital machinery and its reach is formidable, and more people on the ground seem to identify with its ideology than that of the Congress. The BJP also leveraged online engagement with top celebrities, including Amitabh Bachchan and Sachin Tendulkar, to increase its visibility, according to a study by an associate professor at the University of Michigan, who examined over 9,000 tweets from Narendra Modi between February 2009 and October 2015 to research the Prime Minister's engagement with Indian public figures pre- and post-elections. Not just that, Congress still lags a bit behind on WhatsApp, India's most used quasi social media platform, where the BJP famously makes thousands of groups with hyper-local messages to reach voters. A cursory search online shows a plethora of links to join WhatsApp groups with names like Narendra Modi Fans Group and Modi Ke Bhakt Group. Sangh affiliates also have a strong presence. A purported site for Bajrang Dal, for example, shows WhatsApp group links to join state-level groups of the outfit. The BJP and allied organizations are also tapping into newer platforms. For example, BJP leader Kapil Mishra has a channel called Hindu Ecosystem with over 18,000 members on the messaging platform Telegram. On the audio chat platform Clubhouse, Mishra also hosts sessions with other BJP leaders like Tajinder Pal Singh Bagga. On Facebook, members of the Sangh Parivar, including the BJP's ideological fountainhead Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh and the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, have legions of followers. Nonetheless, despite the BJP's focus on reaching the masses through messaging apps like WhatsApp, Telegram and other platforms, Twitter remains essential to influencing the elite who then go on to influence others. The main game on Twitter for the BJP has been all about narrative, narrative, narrative. Arvind Gupta, the IT cell head of the BJP during the decisive 2014 elections, told The Print that social media was one of the factors impacting about 160 seats. He explained that Twitter affects election outcomes because it can impact swing voters and set the narrative and should therefore be a medium of outreach during election campaigns. Amresh K, a former BJP IT cell state convener and national co-convener, threw further light on Twitter's usefulness ahead of polls. Around 2012, Arun Jaitley ji met me in Mumbai and asked us to focus more on what can be done with Twitter in election campaigning. Twitter became important to us because of how it can push messages to people that don't even follow your account, Amresh told The Print. He added that at first, the party pushed content on Twitter just to test what worked and soon realized just how powerful the results could be with the right kind of strategies. What we found was that hashtags can be pushed and we could trend things by using volunteers to tweet the messages. It let us amplify messages like no other tool allowed us to, Amresh said. Twitter has a trending section that displays the top 30 hashtags and keywords. To make it to the top 30, a topic needs to have a large number of tweets using the same keyword and it needs to be happening in real time. Journalists who are on Twitter decide what is newsworthy based on the top few trending hashtags or keywords. Therefore, it became the goal of political IT cells to tweet enough on a particular topic to make the Twitter algorithms rank it as the number one trending topic. Many journalists are also fond of Twitter because it makes their job smoother. For instance, if a journalist is looking to report from an unfamiliar territory, Twitter makes it easier than other platforms to search for user posts by location and track down the reporting location. Journalist and author V. Sangvi explained to the print why he took to Twitter early on. I had very good experiences with Twitter when I was caught up in the civil disturbances in Thailand. Twitter was the best guide to what was happening, what was safe, where was unsafe. I thought it was a fantastic tool and became an early adopter, Sangvi said. Twitter, of course, is also a convenient platform to keep tabs on what important people are saying and to gauge the general mood on relevant topics. Experimenting with content to set viral narratives may have led to the proliferation of fake news we see today. Bora told the print that the IT cell's focus shifted after 2014 when the BJP started targeting minorities and creating fake news to win elections. In December last year, Twitter flagged a tweet by Amit Malviya, the current BJP IT cell head, for allegedly violating the platform's synthetic and manipulated media policy. Another burgeoning problem is online abuse and inflammatory content on Twitter. Communication consultant Kartik Srinivas joined Twitter in December 2008, so he remembers when the tweets were innocent, innocuous and random non-political posts like "I had Italy for breakfast." According to him, things started to change around 2012 to 2013 when political IT cells started using Twitter in a coordinated way for their own agendas. This also had a chilling effect on Twitter discourse. When TV host and actor Mini Mathur joined the platform in July 2009, she told the print she thought it was a safe space to express her opinion and to hear the other side of an argument. Twitter, however, hasn't lived up to that promise for Mathur, who is married to the filmmaker Kabir Khan, a Muslim. She says disgusting abuse is often directed at her. I cannot write hello without people abusing me with names like Love Jihadi, Liberandu, without even bothering to understand the tweet, Mathur said. RPG Enterprises chairman Harsh Goenka told the print that several of his friends have quit Twitter because of trolling, either by professional trollers or those who may not agree with your views. However, Amresh told the print that the fake news and trolling could not be attributed to the BJP IT cell. There was no formal strategy from the IT cell to start creating fake news and spread misinformation. Maybe there were IT cell members or volunteers or third parties who did all this on their own, but never did the IT cell do it. A sign of Twitter's influence is that the BJP as well as the Congress have been seen to attempt twisting the company's arm to seemingly make it fall in line with their agenda. This year, in a 41-day period during May and June, Twitter faced 13 instances of pressure from the authorities, including FIRs, court cases, and parliamentary summons. This came as the BJP government sought to get Twitter to comply with new rules that could hold social media executives criminally liable for content users posted on the platform. The pressure started mounting on Twitter after the company openly criticized the new rules as a threat to free speech. In August, some Congress workers were so angry that their leader Rahul Gandhi's account was blocked for posting content that Twitter said was violating its rules. They fried a quail for the bird's resemblance to the Twitter logo and mailed it to the company's Mumbai office. Gandhi himself put out a video called Twitter's Dangerous Game because his voice was suppressed allegedly on government orders. However, pressurizing Twitter is not enough to win the social media game, which is something that the BJP at least seems to realize with its push on WhatsApp and a range of other social media platforms. The Congress too is trying to follow suit with WhatsApp groups and Telegram channels, but whether it can catch up with the BJP is anybody's guess. Thank you for listening. We will be soon back with another episode of The Print Pod.